Well, good morning, and may you have a happy Easter. Lots of food, lots of fellowship. And my wife told me that if I go on long, I will be the next crucifixion. Praise God. So I'll try not to be long-winded. Praise the Lord. Don't you love your wives, men? Praise God. I was asking the Lord what kind of message I could bring for Easter that we'd all benefit by it. John Shearer asked me, he says, what message have you got? And I says, I have no idea. He said, oh, good, that's when they're really good. But I've been praying about it because I've been reading, which I do every year. I read several books in my library that I really love and appreciate. These books is material that has proven itself very accurate to scriptures over the years. Some of them you can't get in print any longer. You can't even... I've had people even search over the internet to try to get a hold of some of the material. At one time you could get a hold of it, and other times you can't. But one of my favorite books that was given to me, was placed in my hands over 20 years ago. And since then I've read it every year. And I've always taken this particular book and put it to Scripture. I like books that I can put to Scripture and validate it. And it's called the Archco Volumes. A lot of people haven't heard about them, and some have. And those who have heard about it really cherish and appreciate this particular book. The information that is in it now is no longer available to society because this book contains parchments that back in the 1800s you could get a hold of. But you had to have the priests go into the Vatican and retrieve the parchments. But the priests had to handle them because the parchments are very fragile and very easily to be destroyed. Most of them come in rolls. And so over time, they ceased making this available to the public because of the conditions of the parchment. Over years, as years pass by, they get more and more fragile. Now, I know the History Channel is, I don't agree with what they were sharing on the Vatican and all that junk, but I do appreciate what these men had done to gather what information they could at that time and put it in written form for us. And I don't have time to go in and to try to validate the authenticity of these parchments, but I do appreciate them because over 20 some years that I've read this book every year and gone over it and put scriptures to it. Actually, this book has added fresh insight as to the statements that have been made in our Bible. I like that. And the thing that really interested me was Caiaphas, the high priest, who actually gave the orders to crucify Jesus. And so they got a hold of his parchments out of the Vatican back in I think it was 1883. And the parchment that they requested was Caiaphas' letter or report that he gave to the Sanhedrins concerning the execution of Christ. So Caiaphas, who was the high priest at that time that gave the order, gave his argument to the Sanhedrins concerning why he had to crucify Christ. And when I read them, I was amazed at the mindset that they had towards Jesus. And it was the first time I could understand why they were so confused at the person of Christ. You know, Jesus came to the earth to actually, theologically, the terms used, exegesis. It means he came to clearly define the person God is through himself. And so we know that all ambiguity was removed, all uncertainness was removed once Jesus was birthed into the earth. And so we do have the actual account that God did come to mankind and manifest himself. Beautiful, beautiful story of the history of God sending his son to the earth to express or to show what God was really like. Because all they knew him out of the Old Testament was, you either do right, and if you didn't do right and you did wrong, you were history. And so God really showed his personality to the world through Jesus, and that is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. Wow. Anyway, after reading the account that he gave to the Sanhedrins of why he had to execute Jesus, wow, I fully understood why they thought the way they thought. It made a clear picture in my understanding. But you know what? When he gave his report to the Sanhedrins, it was before Jesus' resurrection. It's very interesting, his report before the resurrection. Jesus told everybody, I'm going to come back to life. As far as Caiaphas the high priest was, when he put Jesus to death, it was over. But you know what happened? I don't know whether it was Sunday morning, but come Sunday morning, Jesus came out of that grave. For your information, Caiaphas had a problem. You all in agreement with me? Caiaphas had a problem. He put him in the grave, and Jesus came out of it. So you know what Caiaphas had to do? He had to write another letter to the Sanhedrins. And he was basically saying to the Sanhedrins concerning now the resurrection of Jesus. He wrote a letter to them, why he had to execute him. Then he had to write another letter about the resurrection of him. And what I thought was very interesting, I have an 8-volume set. They're very difficult to get a hold of now, called the Letters of the Anti-Nicene Fathers. And what the Anti-Nicene Fathers were, was the conversion that took place from the apostles direct witnessing to them. And so the Anti-Nicene Fathers then had what they call writings as a human testimony to the Christ that they had received. And the Nicenes were a group that decided to take captive the Bible and interpret it for themselves. And so that's why they were called anti against the Nicenes. And out of the Dark Ages, I guess Catholicism was birthed out of that. out of the Nicene Creed. And so according to the history of the anti-Nicenes, is all of them gave testimony on several different parchments that are preserved today. All of them gave testimony that Caiaphas gave his heart to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So when I was reading about his letter to the Sanhedrins concerning the resurrection of Jesus, and I've read this so many times that I get thoroughly blessed at how God can prove himself to humanity so clearly that humanity doesn't know how to explain it. So rather than going and reading you the whole thing, I'm just going to read from the parchment. Is that all right with you? To you, masters of Israel, this is Caiaphas now explaining to them about the resurrection of Jesus. As I have made a former defense to you, and you have approved the same, in other words, the letter that he formerly wrote to him, why he had to execute Jesus, now he has to find out, I got to write a letter now to him and explaining why he ain't dead. He says, I feel in duty bound to communicate to you some facts that I have come to my knowledge since that communication. A few days after the ascension of Jesus of Nazareth, the report of his resurrection from the dead became so common that I found it necessary to investigate it because the excitement was more intense than before. And my own life, as well as that of Pilate, was in danger. I sent for Malchus, the captain of the royal city guard, who informed me he knew nothing personally, as he had placed Isham in command of the guard, another man in command of the guard of the tomb. But from what we could learn from the soldiers, the scene was awe-inspiring. And the report was so generally believed that it was useless to deny it. He thought my only chance was to suppress it among the soldiers and have John and Peter banished to Crete or arrest and imprison. And if they would not be quiet, to treat them as I have treated Jesus, put him to death. He said that all the soldiers he had conversed with were convinced that Jesus was resurrected by supernatural powers and was still living, and that he was no human being, for the light and the angels and the dead that came out of their graves all went to prove that something had happened that never occurred on earth before. He said that John and Peter were spreading it all over the country, and that if Jesus would appear at the head of the host and declare for the King of the Jews, he believed all the Jews would fight for him. I sent for the lieutenant, who gave a lengthy account of the occurrence that morning, all of which I suppose you have learned and will investigate. From this I am convinced that something transcending the laws of nature took place that morning that cannot be accounted for upon natural laws. Amen. And I find it useless to try to get any of the soldiers to deny it. Well, when you're there, I mean, what are you going to do about it? For they were so excited that they cannot be reasoned with. I regret that I had soldiers placed at the tomb for the very thing that they were to prevent. They had helped to establish. After questioning the soldiers and officers to my satisfaction, my mind being so disturbed that I could neither eat nor sleep, and I sent for John and Peter, and they came and brought Mary and Joanna, who are the women that went to embalm Jesus' body the morning of the resurrection, as it is called. And they were very interesting as they related the circumstances. Mary says that when they went, day was just breaking. They met the soldiers returning from the sepulcher and saw nothing strange until they came to the tomb and found that it was empty. The stone that covered the sepulcher was rolled to one side, and two men dressed in flowing white were sitting, one at each end of the sepulcher. And Mary asked them, "Where was her Lord?" And they said, "He is risen from the dead. He did not tell you he would rise the third day and show himself to the people? Or did he not tell you he would rise the third day and show himself to the people to prove that he was the Lord of life? Go tell his disciples," said they. And Joanna said she saw but one man, but with discrepancy might have been due to their excitement, because they say they were much alarmed. Both say that as they returned, they met the master who told them that he was the resurrection and the life. All that will accept shall be resurrected from the second death. We fell at his feet, all bathed in tears. And when he rose up, he was gone. Both these women wept for joy while relating these circumstances. And John shouted aloud, which made me tremble in every limb, Caiaphas. For I could not help thinking that something that was the exclusive work of God had occurred. But what it all meant was a great mystery to me. It might be, I said, that God had sent this message by the mouth of this stranger. It might be that he was the seed of the woman and his people had executed him. Now, this is Caiaphas now rethinking this. Oh, my gosh, what if, you know. And I asked John and Peter if they could give me any further evidence in regard to this man, that I wished to be informed of his private history. And so without going into reading all that they give, they went into detail telling him how Jesus was could command the weather. I mean, it just, you know, gave testimony of how he raised the dead and healed so many people. And Caiaphas is listening to this, you know. He's going, oh, my gosh. You know, so now, Caiaphas is all of a sudden paying attention. And so, after they give their testimony, only have faith. And he called the young man by name, and he came forth out of the tomb and is living today. And Peter proposed that I should see him for myself. He's telling, Peter's telling Caiaphas, oh, what about when Lazarus came forth? You ought to go see him. He's still alive. He's walking around. Thus argued Peter and John, if Jesus had such power over nature and nature's laws and power over death and others, he would have had such power over death that he could lay down his life and take it up again. As he had said he would do, as he purposed to bring hundreds of witnesses to prove all he says, and much more witnesses whose veracity cannot be doubted. And as I had heard many of these things before from different men, both friends and foes, and all these things are related by his friends, that is, the friends of Jesus, yet these men talk like men of truth, and their testimony corroborates their evidence that I have from some other sources that convince me that this is something that should not be rashly dealt with. You think so? And seeing the humble trust and confidence of these men and the women besides, as John says, thousands of others equally strong in their belief, it throws me into great agitation. I feel some dreadful foreboding, a weight upon my heart I cannot feel as a criminal from the fact that I was acting according to my best judgment with the evidence before me. I feel that I was acting in defense of God and my country, which I love better than my life. And if I was mistaken, I was honest in my mistake. That's what Caiaphas started saying. Now, are you ready for this? Here's what Caiaphas did. He says, surround my house. Make sure Jesus can't get to me. Or Pilate. In this state of conscious dread, I remain investigating the scriptures to know more about the prophecies concerning this man, but found nothing to satisfy my mind. I locked my door and gave the guards orders to let no one in without first giving me notice. While thus engaged with no one in the room but my wife and Annas, her father, when I lifted up my eyes, behold, Jesus of Nazareth stood before me. My breath stopped, my blood ran cold, and I was in the act of falling when he spoke and said, be not afraid, it is I. You condemn me that you might go free. This is the work of my Father. You've given your last sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice reached Caiaphas. Yep. Your only wrong is you have a wicked heart. This you must repent of. This last lamb you have slain is the one that was appointed before the foundations. This sacrifice is made for all men. Your other lambs were for those who offered them. This is for all. This is the last, even it is for you. If you will accept it. I died that you and all mankind might be saved. At this he looked at me with such melting tenderness that it seemed to me I was nothing but tears, and my strength was all gone. I fell on my face at his feet as one that was dead. And when Annas lifted me up, Jesus was gone, and the door still locked. No one could tell when or where he went. He could walk through walls. So, noble masters, I do not feel that I can officiate as priest anymore. If this strange personage from God and should prove to be the Savior we have looked for so long, and I have been the means of crucifying him, I have no other offering made for sin, but I will wait and see how these things will develop. And if he proves to be the ruler that we are looking for, they will soon develop into something more grand in the future. His glory will increase. His influence will spread wider and wider until the whole earth shall be full of his glory. And all the kingdoms of the world shall be his dominion. Such are the teachings of the prophets on this subject. Therefore, you will appoint Jonathan or someone to fill the holy place. It must be that I must revisit Scripture. Amen. Isn't that powerful? I've read this time and time again, and it's always brought me back to the Bible. And it's always confirmed the Bible. And I just love this book. Resurrection power. Amen. Our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Do you know that at the cross, the record here said that when Jesus was crucified at the cross, they said that there was over thousands of people there. Over 100,000 people. That's a lot of people coming to see you die. Wow. So in closing, what time is it?
A quarter till.
Closing. I just feel so blessed because of my Redeemer and my Lord, my Savior. I love Jesus so much. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go over to Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to show you something that is so beautiful. And people don't understand it. And in Hebrews chapter 10, about verse 3, it says, "But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year." The sacrifices of animals and stuff. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, for you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I come. I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God.' Previously saying, 'Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said," this is so powerful, "then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first that he may establish the second." And let me explain this verse to you. He was saying he takes away the first was our physical body that you're still in. He removes it that he may establish the second, which is your spiritual being. Yes. "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So when he hung on that cross and he was crucified, in the mind of God, it was you that was crucified. Your outer being. That your inner man could reclaim his identity. Therefore, when you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, that's why all things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Yeah. And we as this church, by His Word, we're going to do our best to see to it that the history you lived in the natural will render itself powerless as you develop yourself spiritually. That is what we desire. Amen. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Love you all so much. Had a wonderful time in Branson, Missouri with the Hagans, Ken and Lynette, and all the ministers there. What a wonderful group of people. I just enjoyed myself. Enjoyed my flights. Somebody said, "Did you fear?" My outer man always fears, but my inner man totally at peace. And the flights were just marvelous. Smooth as silk. Got a little bumpy. But I enjoyed it. Got to sit next to a lady with a baby. His name was Eli, the cutest little guy. And he just fell in love with me. Praise God. Enjoyed the flight. Enjoyed my fellowship. Enjoyed the flight. Do it again. And I'm proud of my June. She has got Rhema down pat. And she makes me look so good. I was so proud of her after we all got to talking about stuff and how she puts everything together. She's really under the anointing of God. I just love her. I loved her so much when I left. Because God was really in her. Really appointed her for that. Are you here, June? Oh, there you are. God's really appointed you for that place. There's only one June. She's called Junebug. Praise God. I wish the airlines operated as smoothly as June did. I missed my flight by 3 minutes. But that's all right. The next flight came along an hour and a half later, and it was a good flight. Praise God. So it was just good all the way around. Just really love it. Praise God. So, bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege of serving the body of Christ and the needs that the body of Christ has. Father, we're looking forward for a move of your Spirit. We're looking forward to a good future in spite of what the world is going through right now. But we can face the things of this world. We can face tomorrow. Just like that song. I'd like to sing that again. We can face tomorrow. What if, you want to get up there and do that again, Tammy? And let's sing it. We'll get out of here just right after this song. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can face tomorrow. Isn't that a beautiful song? We used to sing that years ago at the Assembly of God school. We never did get a chance much to sing some of them old hymns. But how many of you like some of them old hymns? Praise God. I like the new ones too, but I like them old ones. Praise God. So let's sing that together before we close the service. Hallelujah. Did you forget the music already? Or? Okay. Praise God. Well, let's start praying a little bit in the spirit. Hallelujah, Father. Father, we thank you.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives.
Sing it, people. Come on.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because
isn't that great? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Boy, can you imagine being in the world without him? Oh, if you're here today and you can truthfully say, I have never really received Jesus as my Savior, I would like to receive him today, then we want to make it available for you to come forward and to receive him. Hallelujah. This is a very important point of our service, is to make sure that no one leaves here without personally knowing and touching the Savior that came to just save the world. I know a lot of us feel like we've got to unload a bunch of baggage to come to him, but that's not true. You come to him and he'll help undo the baggage. Takes time, but he'll work with you. He's a wonderful Lord, full of grace and mercy. He'll work with you like no one else can to convert your heart to his. like he did Caiaphas. I do believe he was saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to go ahead and dismiss the service. And as you go, those of you that would like to receive Jesus as Savior, feel free to come up here and we'll pray with you. Father, be with everybody today. May they have a good time. And may their communion with their relatives work out well. In Jesus' name, you're all dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming for Easter.